We're going to do something unusual this morning. I have no introduction to my message. I just want to get right into my 4 points. I'm going to preach on the subject, Mine Eyes Have Seen the King. Mine eyes have seen the King. And let's pray one more time. Father, thank you again for letting us be here. Quiet our hearts now. Help us to draw our attention to your word, what the Holy Spirit says to us. And I pray that as we consider this watershed event in the life of Isaiah, that we would look at our own hearts and ask the same question and come to the same conclusion that he did. Bless the remainder of this service. Father, thank you for what we've experienced so far. Help us to uplift Jesus. And if there's somebody here that doesn't know him as their personal Savior, help them decide today to make him their Savior. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. My outline this morning comes right from the verses in this sixth chapter of Isaiah. In fact, my first point is entitled this, In the Year That King Uzziah Died. In the year that King Uzziah died. That year, and I don't know exactly when it was, I can't tell you how many years B.C. it was, but that year that King Uzziah died was a tough year for Isaiah. Isaiah was a member of the royal family. He wasn't a son of a king, but many Bible scholars think that he was Uzziah's cousin, that his dad had a place in Amaziah's court. Amaziah was the king when Uzziah was born. Amaziah was Uzziah's father. A lot of Uzziahs, so I've got to make sure I keep them all straight. Uzziah and Isaiah were cousins, probably grew up together, and I think were close cousins. And so in the year that King Uzziah died, not only did Isaiah lose somebody that he was close to, but in the kingdom of God, he lost a good king. Because the Bible tells us, as we read the history of the kings that were in Jerusalem, that ruled in that northern kingdom that consisted of those two tribes, that Uzziah was one of the good kings. In fact, you go back, you don't need to turn to it, but in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, we read that Uzziah was 16 years old when his father died. 16 years old when he was made the king, and his reign lasted longer than any of the other kings in that northern kingdom because he was king for 52 years. And the Bible says, and I'll just read a couple verses from that 26th chapter of 2 Chronicles, and he did, talking about Uzziah, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. You know, I wish I could go back and tell you that every king that ruled in Jerusalem was a good king, but every king wasn't. There were kings that forgot God. There were kings that turned away from God. There were kings that had nothing to do with the temple that Solomon had built in Jerusalem. But Uzziah, following in the footsteps of his father, was a good king. He sought the Lord. He read the Bible as it existed then. He took part in the worship services that they had back in those days in that temple. And the Bible says that as long as he sought God, God made him to prosper. But unfortunately, as you read in that 26th chapter of 2 Chronicles, we find that at the end of his life, Uzziah made a mistake. He went into the temple and burnt incense on one of the tables there that was in the temple to do that. The priest came in and said, Uzziah, that's not your job. Your job is not to burn incense in the temple. That's our job. God has ordained that we do it. And the Bible says that as judgment for doing something that he wasn't supposed to do, God gave him leprosy. It sprang up in his forehead, and the Bible says he was a leper until the day of his death. And you know, as we talked about, leprosy is a dreaded disease, but it separated you from your family. It separated you from your people. You were sort of an outcast of society, and that's exactly what happened to Uzziah. So he was a good king. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and as long as he sought God, God blessed him. And he was a king that Isaiah loved, a king that he'd grown up with, a king that he'd been with for his whole rule. In fact, in that 26th chapter of 2 Chronicles, here's verse 22 says, Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first and last, from his very first act when he was 16 years old and took the throne, until his very last act when he was 58 years old and he died, here's what the Bible says, now the rest of his acts of Uzziah, from the first to the last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, write. Isaiah not only was close to this king because they were cousins, but he was close to this king because everything that God wanted recorded in the Bible that Uzziah did, Isaiah was the one that wrote it down. And so when Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, what he was saying was, boy, that was a tough year for me. It was a big blow when King Uzziah died. It's a year that will stick in my memory forever and ever. Sort of like 1961 does for many of us. I remember, as many of you do, where you were when the announcement came that President Kennedy was shot. Sort of like the year 2001 will stick in most of our minds. We remember where we were when we heard the news that those planes were flown into the World Trade Center. And I'll go beyond that. There are years in every one of our lives that we can point back to and we can say, in the year that this happened to me, in the year that my husband died, or in the year that we lost the little baby, or in the year that we had the accident, or in the year that I found out that I had cancer. I mean, all of us have years that are burned in the memory of our minds, just like Isaiah did. In the year that King Uzziah died, man, that was a tough year for me. It was a year that I really took a blow, so to speak, from God. It was a tough, tough year in the year that King Uzziah died. But notice what it says next. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. Now, if I stopped right there, we have the same theme that I've preached on many times in the past few weeks. Many times in the study of the Beatitudes from Matthew chapter 5, a couple times after that. It's in those tough times. It's in those times that mark our life forever. Circumstances. It's in those times when circumstances happen that mark our lives forever. Things that we'll never forget. Things that will shape every day of our future. That's when we see God. That's when we perceive His presence. That's when we experience His comfort. But that's not my message this morning. It's a blessed and wonderful thought, and I want you to keep it in mind that when those tough times come, God is there, and He makes Himself known, and He provides that comfort. But that's not my point this morning. I want to go ahead and read the rest of that sentence. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. And you go on and read it. Isaiah saw around that throne angels, seraphims, as they're called here. And they were crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with His glory." And that word holy means set apart. Holy Bible, a book that's set apart. God, a holy God that's set apart, that's different from any other God that the world has worshipped. We have a holy God, a unique God. And Isaiah said, in that year that was a tough year for me, when my friend and my cousin and my king died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple, and the angels stood about Him, and they cried out, "Holy, holy, holy is our God." There's not a God like that. What Isaiah was saying, we have a God that's different from any other God. We have a God that can do things that no other God can do. We have an omnipotent God, an all-powerful God. We have an omniscient God, an all-knowing God. We have an omnipresent God, a God that's everywhere. And what Isaiah was saying, there is no other God like that. There is no other king like that. No other king rules like our king does. There's no monarch that has the same amount of power and glory and wisdom that our God has. What Isaiah was saying, you put all the kings and the queens in the world together and you add up all their power and all their might and all their glory and all their wisdom, and they don't compare at all to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Here's what Isaiah was saying. I saw God as King, high and lifted up. The psalmist would say earlier, his thoughts are not our thoughts, his ways are not our ways. We have a God that doeth wonders. We have a God that does the impossible. Let me tell you what was going on in Isaiah's life. Here's the point of my message this morning. You see, in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah was a little put out with God. He was a little miffed at God. Uzziah had been a good king. And I'm sure that Isaiah had this conversation with God. God, Uzziah was a good king. He sought you. He worshipped you. Yes, he made a mistake. He did something that he wasn't supposed to do. But you didn't have to make him a leper. You didn't have to separate him by that disease from his family and his kingdom. And he didn't have to die at such an early age. He was only 68 years old. And so here was Isaiah in the year that King Uzziah died, questioning how God was dealing with King Uzziah. Here was Isaiah questioning how God was doing things. Here was Isaiah saying to God, this didn't have to happen. You could have stopped it. You didn't have to do it the way that you did it. In the year that King Uzziah died. And then Isaiah said, but then I saw God. I saw him high and lifted up. I saw him with his train filling the temple. I saw God as king. I saw him sitting on that throne. Now, in the Bible, there's three thrones talked about. There's a throne of God that we read here about in Isaiah chapter 6 and other places, the throne of God. Then in the book of Revelation, we read about the throne of Jesus, that throne that he's going to sit on in Jerusalem as he rules the world for 1,000 years. And the third throne that the Bible talks about, it's the throne that's in our hearts and in our lives. The throne that the one who rules our life sets on. And the question this morning is, who in your life sets on that throne? Who sets on the throne of your heart and your life? Is it you or is it God? Who sets in that place of judgment and that place of rule in your life? Is it you or God? In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah was sitting on the throne of his life. Isaiah said, I'm going to rule. I'm going to reign my own life. And he went to God and he said, God, it's not fair the way you dealt with King Uzziah. It's not right. I would have done it a different way. You could have made your point a different way. You didn't have to give him leprosy. You didn't have to kill him. He was a good king. He sought you. He tried to serve you. And God, I don't think you did right. And then God let him see himself. God let him get that vision and look up into heaven. And Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. I saw those seraphim stand around him crying out, "Holy, holy, holy." As you think back on the year that marked your life, for some of you it's this year. For some of you in this room this morning, it'll be 2003. You'll say, "That was my year that King Uzziah died. Something happened in my life this year that changed my life forever. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it." Let me ask you this morning, and you, that it wasn't 2003, but there's something that happened early in your life that you look back to that you haven't never forgot. Who's sitting on the throne when it comes to that matter? Who's ruling in your life? Is it you or is it God? My third point is that phrase in verse 5, where it says, "Woe is me." Here's what happened to Isaiah. All right, not you. I'm putting them together. Here's what happened to Isaiah. He got a little ticked at God. He didn't have to deal with Uzziah like this. And he says, "I'm sitting on the throne of my life. I want to tell you, God, I don't appreciate what you did. I don't like it. I think you could have done something different. It didn't have to happen that way." But then Uzziah lifted up his eyes and he saw God sitting on that throne high and lifted up. Here's what he said. "Woe is me. I'm not..." It's like he took the throne of his life and that he was sitting on. He took that throne and he says, "Look, God, I don't like the way you did it. I'm going to rule my own life. I think you could have did something different." And then he saw that vision. He saw the Lord sitting upon that throne high and lifted up. And he said, "Woe is me. Boy, I'm getting off of this seat. I don't want to sit here when God wants to sit here. I don't want to sit on the throne in my life. I don't want to rule my life. I don't want to sit on that throne. I want the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to sit on the throne of my life. I want that one that the angels are about singing. They're crying out, 'Holy, holy, holy.' That's the one I want to sit on the throne of my life. That's the one I want to rule." And that's what Isaiah was saying when he says, "Woe is me when I compare my wisdom to God's wisdom. And when I compare my might to God's might. And when I compare my ability to run my life to what God has." And I have to say the same thing that Isaiah said. "Woe is me. I am undone. I have unclean lips. I live amidst the people that have unclean lips." Now, if we do the same thing, we'll come to the same conclusion. When we compare our might to God's might, we have to say, "Woe is me." When we compare our wisdom to God's wisdom, we say, "Woe is me." When we compare the ability to run our life to God's ability to run our life, we have to say, "Woe is me." You just keep going down the list. You can add things to that list. You look at everything you can bring to the party to run your life. You look at everything God brings to the party to run your life. And you have to say, if you're honest, if you get that same look that Isaiah got of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you have to say, "Woe is me. I'm undone. I can't do it like God can do it. I don't even want to try because God can do it so much better. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of Hosts." And then my fourth point comes from verse 8, where he said, "Here am I. Send me. Here am I. Send me." Here's what Isaiah was doing. He's sitting on the throne of his life. He got a picture of God. He said, "I'm not sitting here anymore. I'm not sitting here anymore. God, you sat down." And when he got up, God asked a question. "Who shall I send? Who will go for us?" Here's Isaiah now, who's gotten off the throne of his life, raises his hand and he says, "Hey, God. Hey, my King. Hey, my Lord. Here am I. Send me. Send me. I no longer sit on the throne of my life. I no longer have a will for my life. I've made you the King. I've made you the Lord. I put you in charge. You've got a hold of the reins. You've got control. And wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, whatever you want me to say, I'll go. I'll go. We sing that song, I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, or a mountain, or a plain, or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be. And that's what happened to Isaiah here in his, the book that bears his name, chapter 6. I saw also the Lord high and lifted up. Woe is me. I'm getting off the throne in my life, and I'm inviting the King of Kings to sit down and to rule my life. I want to tell you something this morning. That's what every Christian should say. That's what every child of God should say. That's what every blood-bought, redeemed, justified member of the family of God should say. I'm not sitting on the throne of my life anymore. Can't do it. Woe is me. I can't do it. I don't want to do it. I want God to do it. I want Him to sit down. I want Him to be in charge. And that'll happen if we'll do the same thing that Isaiah did. Go ahead. God doesn't mind us asking why. He doesn't mind us questioning why He does certain things. But sooner or later He says, get over it. He's not being mean. He's not being harsh. He's just saying, get over it. I'm God. I know what's best for you. I know what you need. Just get over it. Put me on the throne of your life. Let me show you how I'm going to make it all work together for good. And you get to the point, if you're a Christian this morning, where you say like Isaiah said, I'm getting off the throne of my life. I don't understand why God did some things, but He's the King. He's all-knowing. He knows what He's doing. Even though I might not agree with Him, He knows what He's doing. And I'm going to trust Him. And I'm going to serve Him. Here I am, send me. I'll tell you what, you will never, ever, ever, ever be happy as a Christian as long as you're sitting on this throne. You won't be. You will be miserable. When you fight against God and say, no, God, I know better than you do what's good for me. I know better than you do what my life should be marked with. You will never, ever be happy as a Christian. The only way to be happy as a Christian is get up off that throne in your life and say, dear God, I vacated this chair for you. I want you sitting right there. I'll raise my hand whenever you ask the question, who will go for us? Who shall I send? I'll raise my hand and say, here I am. Send me. Send me. And every person in this room this morning that knows Jesus as their Savior ought to do that if you haven't done it already. You ought to invite Him to sit on the throne of your life. I want to tell you this morning, our Father in heaven can't be the King of your life until His Son, Jesus Christ, is your Savior. You, like everybody else, are a sinner. And the Bible says that our sin separates us from our God. And as long as you are in your sin, there's no way that the King of Kings is going to sit on the throne of your life. He won't. He won't. The only will that the King of Kings has for your life is for you to trust Jesus. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And we can't do that on our own. The Bible says, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's impossible for us to take care of our sin and get right with our God. But what's impossible for us, God has done for us. He gave us His only begotten Son. He came to earth. He lived a perfect life. He went to Calvary's cross, and on Calvary's cross, He paid for every one of your sins and every one of my sins. And the Bible says if we'll believe that and then receive it, He'll make us part of the family. John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. If you make Jesus your Savior, then you will have the opportunity to make God your King, your Lord. He can't do it. He won't take up rule in your life until you've settled the sin question. And the only way you can settle the sin question is by coming to Jesus. So this morning, if you're here and you've never received Christ, you're a sinner. You're the King of your life, and you'll never be happy because you were made to fellowship with God. You were made for Him to be the King of your life. If you're here in that state this morning, you need to take the first step. You need to receive Christ as your Savior. Tell Him you're a sinner. Tell Him that you believe that He died for you on Calvary, and this morning you're depending on Him and nothing else to take care of your sin and make you right with God. If you're here this morning, you've already done that, you're a Christian. Get up out of that chair. You let God sit in that chair. I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And then down in verse 8, he says, in verse 5, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. The King, the Lord of hosts. That's the one that ought to be sitting on the throne in your life. The King, the Lord of hosts. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this reminder from your word. I pray for those that are here this morning that don't know Jesus as their Savior. I pray that right now the Holy Spirit's working on them, whispering in their ear and in their heart that what I've said this morning is true. That they are a sinner and there's a penalty for that sin, and that penalty is separation from you forever. There's nothing that they can do to take care of it except to come to Jesus. And I pray for that young man, that young lady, that senior citizen, whatever age group they're in, whatever condition their life is in this morning, they would make that decision of their will to come and receive Christ. Help them to do it, Father. And then I pray for all the Christians that are here. Help us to see who's sitting on a throne in our life. Help us to see who holds the reins. And if it's ourselves, help us to get up off of that throne and to let you sit down. Bless the invitation. Speak to our hearts. Help us to be obedient as the Holy Spirit speaks to us. If there's somebody here that is not saved, help them to be the first one down the aisle so that we can take the Bible and show them from the Bible what it is to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Speak to our hearts as Christians. If there's some area of our life that we haven't given over to you, help us to surrender that part as well this morning. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.